These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking about
these are the droids you're looking for. I felt nauseous with just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking. And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike, and we are ready to talk about more news. Every week, it seems like there's more breaking news about new Star Wars content, new shows, new video games, a new series of films. We've got it all to talk about, and there's going to be a lot of thoughts, a lot of input on this one. Jon Favreau is the newest addition to the Star Wars universe, but he will not be heading to the big screen. It will be on the small screen with a television series that will be run by the director of Iron Man, The Jungle Book, and many more. Jon Favreau is joining Star Wars. And guys, there's a lot to be said about this. My initial reaction, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who thought of this, is like, really? Rudy's friend from the college football movie is going to be doing a Star Wars television series?
No, it's going to be great. It's going to be like Chewie and Han and Luke. They're going to sit around a table and they're going to go to an Italian restaurant and they're just going to have conversations. That's what it's going to be. That's the show.
In Disney's long-running challenge to itself to see how many non-distinct filmmakers they can put into one franchise, they've gotten Jon Favreau. I will say this. At the risk of repeating my Ron Howard mistake, because man, the internet gave me hell on that one. I like to love many of Jon Favreau's movies. That being said, I think that he doesn't exactly have a distinct hand when it comes to direction, but you know, maybe he's staying out of his own way.
That's interesting. I was thinking like, I feel like I am very familiar with Jon Favreau. And then as I started thinking about it, I realized like I actually haven't seen most of his movies. And I don't think I've seen most of his performances either. Like I'm like really familiar with him from the Iron Man, like as the director of the first two, but also like as Happy Hogan, who appears throughout. You know, which I've seen. I remember I saw him in Daredevil as Foggy Nelson, and I feel like
a
I'm aware of
performance.
Him. I've never seen.
Wait, I want to know who's the better Foggy, the Netflix version of Foggy, or
oh my
Jon
god,
Favreau?
Jon Favreau, Jon Favreau by a million miles. I can't stand
you
that
like clown
Jon
Favreau.
On that show.
Wait,
than
you,
Fulton Reed?
I was going to say Fulton Reed. You've got a problem with Fulton Reed? Because watch out, he'll hit a buck at you.
No,
he's also
I have
a strange thing because Fulton Reed was like the giant guy on the Mighty Ducks, and now that everyone else has grown up, he's just like some dude.
I have no problem with the Bash Bros, either one of them. I do have a problem with him calling himself an actor today. I don't think that guy's very good. I like Jon Favreau, and I feel like I'm familiar with Maid and Swingers as like cultural things, but I've never seen either of them. And, like, I haven't seen any of this guy's stuff, and
what
yet, like, I generally
about,
like, I like
one
him.
Movie. Here's one movie. Have you seen Elf?
I have not seen Elf.
Oh, wait, you haven't seen Elf?
Chris, I thought you were setting me up because you love that fact. I've never seen Elf.
Well, on my Elf cast, my seasonal podcast that happens every year.
Yeah.
Elf is a delight.
That's what makes me like Jon Favreau, is that he has like a very wide variety of movies. Like, they're not just focused in on one type of thing. Like, Maid and Swingers and that kind of stuff, those are like very specific, but I think outside of that, he's making like any kind of movie he wants to make.
for the sake of accuracy, I do need to say that Jon Favreau did not direct Swingers.
Right.
Just so that we just I'm afraid, guys. I was just like
he's
raked
it, right?
over the coals for the Ron Howard stuff. I don't.
Oh, right, right. I understand. So after
he had a part of Swingers.
Yeah, he wrote Swingers and Doug Liman directed it. Yeah.
And he's in after, it also.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So like, yeah. Sorry. All right.
After I'm Favreau
directed, say, before we're calling it Jon Favreau's Swingers or something. Nobody
was calling it that. I could feel it.
It was coming.
All right, hang on. We need to establish some things, though, I think, before this conversation goes on. There's two things we need to establish. I think we should at least read the press release from Lucasfilm.
Yes. Yes.
And then the other thing I want to make sure is that for all the crossover that we get with the Pod Save America audience, because I know that we hit that same target. Right.
Oh, that's who I thought it was.
This is not the same Jon Favreau.
Hold on.
This is what I was going to bring up. Was it live on air that last... on a pod last time that I discovered it wasn't that guy?
Yes.
Who was with me?
Well, guys, I'm pretty sure that Tommy Vitor wrote the first Thor movie, didn't he?
I think he did. No, he's got kind of a close collaboration with Kenneth Branagh.
We went out to dinner, the four of us, Mike. when you got to the big city, New York, we all went out to dinner, and I, in the middle of the meal at some point, said that I thought it was crazy that the director of Chef was now, like, one of the, like, foremost, like, political in the country.
Which he could be. We don't know that.
I had no idea that Jon Favreau, speechwriter for Obama, was... I had no idea that Jon Favreau was the speechwriter for Obama. I assumed
he should watch. I think you should watch Elf, and that would have confirmed some things.
Oh boy.
Okay, so quickly, the press release.
I need to confirm. We cannot cut this out. This is great stuff.
Oh, this isn't cut out. No, this is key heart of the pod right here.
Swingers director Jon Favreau enters the Star Wars universe.
Mike, tell the audience what we're talking about.
Lucasfilm did announce, as Chris just said, that the Emmy-nominated producer and actor... Wait, he's an Emmy-nominated actor? What was he nominated for an Emmy for?
Do you think he was his guest role on Seinfeld
as the clown?
I bet he's an Emmy-nominated producer, non-nominated actor.
I mean, he was definitely on an episode of Entourage, right? He had to.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
His episode was so money.
Kathleen Kennedy said, "We couldn't be more excited about John coming on board to produce and write for the new direct-to-consumer platform, Disney's new streaming service. John brings the perfect mix of producing and writing talent combined with a fluency in the Star Wars universe. This series will allow John the chance to work with a diverse group of writers and directors, which we're going to talk a little bit more about later, and give Lucasfilm the opportunity to build a robust talent base. Apparently, he has played roles in both Star Wars The Clone Wars, and he has a small role in Solo, A Star Wars Story. That's a bit of a concern." Favreau's comments about this, he says, "If you told me at 11 years old that I would be getting to tell stories in the Star Wars universe, I wouldn't have believed you. I can't wait to embark on this exciting adventure."
If you had told me yesterday that Jon Favreau would be telling stories in the Star Wars universe, I wouldn't have believed you.
So there it is. There's the news. There's no official date. This will be part of the streaming service. He's currently also making The Lion King. He's got deep ties to Disney. He's made a lot of money for Disney with his films. He helped kick off the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Did he direct Iron Man 2? Yes, he did. So that has to be a big blemish on his career mark.
Well,
but that's what we have going in.
I think that's what cost him like the Avengers. I think everybody was thinking that as the guy who kind of like grandfathered this universe ultimately. I remember like the early talk was that he would be doing it was like clearly setting him up to be the lead on Avengers, but then they went with
Sam, indie film darling Jon Favreau, director of the cutting edge edgy film Chef, would never have made the Avengers.
He
I don't want to talk about Chef.
He was nominated for best for acting in a couple things.
For awards?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, Broadcast Film Critics Award, Best Actor in a Comedy.
Broadcast Film Critics Award.
Oh wait, is that straight to TV movies? Is this going to be the Rocky Marciano thing?
And I'm looking up. I don't even see. You said Emmy nominated?
Emmy nominated producer.
Oh, Primetime Emmy. Here we go. Dinner for Five. That's what I was referencing earlier.
I do like. That was a cool show. Dinner for Five.
Oh wait, I just remembered what his character name was in Rudy. It was D-Bop.
D-Bop and Opie are directing Star Wars.
I think that's his name. I think that's his name in Solo as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Fits in with the universe.
Can I tell a brief? I want
to hear this.
With Jon Favreau. I at a company that will remain unnamed for fear that I may have signed an NDA. I used to do interviews and stuff for YouTube and stuff. And I got the opportunity to interview Jon Favreau for Chef. And I did like a video Q&A, which can be found online. And then I moderated a Q&A. And I was, you know, I'm a very big fan of Dinner for Five. And strangely enough, his movie Zathura. And also, the dude made Iron Man. It's like it was a cool thing. So the whole night I'm really trying to like be like buddy buddy with him. You know, I'm like, oh, man, like you occupy this cool space. And like, because you're a curator and also a creator. And he just was like, oh, cool. That's cool. Yeah. Cool. Buddy. So, you know, he was he wasn't unfriendly. He was certainly in the room. That's about what I could say.
Great. Great Favreau impression, by the way. I thought he was on the pod for a second.
We'll get him.
We could get him.
Really nailed it.
So at the end of the night, I went up to him and very heartfelt, I said, you know, like I really appreciate the time and like this is a really great experience for me. And like now whenever I see your work, you know, I'll have this kind of personal connection to this experience. And I really appreciate that. And I'll never make fun of you on a podcast, I said. And he went, oh, cool. Thanks. And he out of his pocket, he pulls a coin about the size of like half dollar and he hands it to me. And it's like a carved coin that says Chef on it. And I'm like, that's a little self-serving, but it's in line with that film, which is insanely self-serving. So I took it and I was like, this is a cool thing for a man to have pulled out of his back pocket and given to me. So we're getting packed up and we're with like his team, you know, so like a few of his assistants and stuff. And one of them makes a joke where he said, oh, good job with the Q&A. Maybe if you keep doing these things, you'll get one of John's coins. And I was like, oh, that's so weird that you say that. I held up. I was like, he gave me this. And his assistant looked at me as if he had been trying to get the approval of a father figure for years. And then that father figure just met a stranger and gave it away.
Oh.
He was like, he looked at me, his face sunk, and he went, he gave you a coin? And I went, yeah, isn't that weird? Like, what is this?
That's brutal.
Like, what am I even?
I don't even want it. Whatever. He tried to put it in like a soda machine or something.
And he just looked absolutely crushed.
Aww.
Oh, man.
Is this when Javier Bardem walked in and said, don't put it in your pocket. Never put it in your pocket. It gets mixed in with all the others and then becomes just a coin.
That's exactly.
Wow.
That's exactly what happened. I said, wow. I'm going to have to know what we're flipping for.
It's not even Favreau's movie.
So that assistant was never the same again, I don't think.
Well, now they're on the set of Star Wars, the series.
Yeah. Yeah, I showed him.
So I guess the things that I am familiar with, knowing both Iron Man movies, in terms of like pacing and content and enthusiasm for, you know, what's in that, like, I don't know, nerd comic book sci-fi culture, you know, and then I didn't see the Jungle Book, but I just in seeing like the trailers, that to me looked like it was, you know, he worked well with the team who was doing those, you know, CG creations and effects. Like, I remember thinking it looked like a cool, mm-hmm. you know, a cool, you know, t- tech demo, if nothing else. Like, I didn't, yeah. I can't
good,
speak to
it's
the.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
So knowing all that, I think, like, okay, this guy does seem like someone who, you know, will play well in this sandbox, in this world. And, you know, I'm interested in what he's doing. I could see him, you know, playing really well with something like, you know, mm-hmm. Smugglers or Bounty Hunters. You know, we talked about stuff that, like, you know, we talked about, oh, would Benioff and Weiss be the right people for something like an Old Republic, given their Game of Thrones pedigree? And I'm kind of mm-hmm. like, well, where would Favreau fit in? And I'm thinking of, right. like, you know, a gangster type, like action movie or something like that, that fabled, you know, 1313 type thing. Yeah, I'm like, I could maybe see him in that space.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, I think if he kept it, especially if it's something that's kind of dark like that, I think one of his main strengths is the sense of humor he brings into things. Like, Iron Man is, I think, a legitimately funny movie. Yeah. And a lot of that is because he opens the door to a lot of improv. Uh-oh, Disney, look out. But yeah, I think he can bring that to subjects that maybe, like, given, if I think of, like, Weiss and Benioff, like, if they were to do Star Wars 1313, it would be, like, dark and gross and unpleasant. But Favreau might be the right guy to bring in, like, that sense of humor that Star Wars carries.
I have a specific question to you, Chris, and I'm mm-hmm. sort of surprised it didn't. I was giving you a little bit of runway.
Yeah.
I thought you might get here. But, you know, I'm just wondering if, you know, given Favreau's film, I know we don't want to spend time talking about Chef, but, you know, given his film Chef,
yeah,
and that we think, you know, he might fit well in a world of, you know, smugglers, the day to day, you know, like the workers, the blue collar folks of the Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah.
Is there anybody you could see him really focusing in on, featuring, that we've met before?
Well, you know, that depends on how big your pocketbook is.
Guys, actually, it's funny that you said this. Twitter, this just shot up. The plot synopsis came out. It's apparently about Dex feels that the food he's making is too commercial, and he decides to start a food truck on Coruscant?
And he's railing against the newest.
I'm going to make a poster.
We were all racing toward that joke.
I'm gonna make a poster for the film Dex, and I'm just gonna use the typeface that they use.
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect.
And can we
a little speeder truck?
What form of new galactic communication will Dex be raging against for the entire course of the film that then eventually saves his overall alien ass?
Yeah.
Also, well, as we know, the evil food critic in that movie, played by Oliver Platt, sounds a lot like Unkar Plutt.
Oliver
the crossovers.
Platt. Unkar.
All right, I want to say, you look at his filmography, you look at him as a writer. Here's some concerns. I mean, Chef is a concern in its own that was something that he wrote. And
just quickly, because the press release did say that he signed on to write a Star Wars series, right? Like, assumedly he'll direct the pilot, but other than that, doesn't say write and produce.
It's I believe he's going to be the executive producer of the show and be a showrunner.
Gotcha. So go on.
Yeah, right. I think I read it as like a showrunner position.
He'll write the first one.
But that's my entire point. I mean, he's never run a series before. He has no experience.
Revolution, right?
No, he did one episode. He didn't actually run... I don't think he's
the executive producer on Revolution. Co-executive producer. Okay. And executive producer.
Does Revolution make you feel good about him coming into the Star Wars television series? Technology fails and you have to go back to the old world.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
Oh, I watched the first two episodes. Meh.
Ooh,
that's a resounding meh. But
and
you
about
go through
a boy.
And you look at his career as a writer. He wrote mm-hmm. Swingers, made Couples Retreat, and Chef. And I mean, his original pieces don't exactly combine to make me be confident. The things that he's done well is direct other properties that he's mm-hmm. based on that he's already had an establishing point. So if he has to create the universe, I mean, I know he'll hire talented people around him. They'll have the Lucasfilm Story Group. But if anything, I'd rather see Dave Filoni doing this than John Favreau.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saving him for something else. But I was just shocked to see that they one-upped or went over the head of Dave Filoni.
Yeah. Well,
I think he's got some. I mean, I think that announcement's coming. I think they're letting him finish Rebels, like, you know, and the guy, if he may want some, and God knows he deserves some time off, but he also, they might just be giving him, you know, a chance to actually celebrate the, you know, the close of that show. But there's no way they pass that guy over. It might be more animated stuff. It might be live action. It might they could make the jump to film with him.
I mean, it could also be a network show too. I know Disney's pushing their streaming service, but
they're not doing
network. You don't think so?
No, not with the service. Yeah.
No, they're launching the service. They're selling everything through that. Man.
Marvel did it.
But we talked about it before, though. Streaming
only and network.
There are multiple series coming to the streaming service that are Star Wars series. So they have stuff in the pipeline that's all going to be part of that streaming service, and I imagine Filoni will be part of it. And they're going to want to make a big splash to try to get subscribers. So to have multiple Star Wars series maybe at launch, or at least in the months early on in its existence, that would be a big get for them. Or a big
They'll air the pilot of all these shows on ABC.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then that's it. That's all you get.
Well, I think, if we look at this from like a business standpoint, our feelings about the film chef notwithstanding, that Jon Favreau, it makes complete sense. You know what I mean? It's like
it's the same boring sense that you talked about before, exactly. Ryan. It's the same boring decision.
That's exactly, and that's why it's a disappointing thing for me. And for probably a lot of people, but like, so if you look at it, Jon Favreau was, if rumors are to be believed, one of the front runners to direct Episode 7 for one reason or another, mostly because a also very competent, more talented filmmaker came in and said, "I'll do it, please." He did not do that. Now, if you look at it that way, how like JJ is a smart choice. I think that JJ Abrams is a exponentially more talented filmmaker than Jon Favreau is, but Jon Favreau has established a good track record. He makes movies like Ron Howard that he makes movies. He delivers a movie. He knows how to put one together. He works well with actors. He apparently works well with studios because he's been in bed with Disney for the last few years and it seems that they are snuggling.
This is also not his first Star Wars thing. He did a voice on the Clone Wars.
Chris, I don't think you listened to me at all.
Did you say that?
I said in the press release.
Oh, when did you say that? Oh, in the press release.
I'm not sure that that's the prerequisite.
also,
executive produce a Star Wars series.
Yeah,
that he did
12 episodes. It's pretty good.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. is directing the next one. I heard.
This press release?
Well, that would be another white guy they could get to do it.
It's just. They
even make a point in the press release that he'll be working with a diverse team of, you know, directors and writers. And it's
is like them saying, like, despite our actions, please believe us.
Yeah. Hey, It's coming. Hey, Black Panther's doing pretty well. We wanted to announce Jon Favreau.
I'm on his IMDb right now, and it says he's going to work with a diverse group of people.
Even though I find this disappointing, it is completely in line with the tactic that Disney has taken, which is that they are going with filmmakers who have proven that in certain genres with movies of a certain size that they can deliver, because they took a chance not on diverse filmmakers but on newer filmmakers, and they fired all of them.
Well, but so here's the thing to think about is how big a negative impact is this going to have on the future of Star Wars? Because, and I'm not blaming them, there's just the whole conversation between what happened is Gareth Edwards, Josh Trank, Phil Miller, and Christopher what's his last name? I already forgot it.
Lord
Miller. Yeah. So Lord Miller, put them all together. If one of them could have at least somehow played a little bit better in the system, we would still be seeing some risks from Lucasfilm. I don't want to blame them entirely, but I just feel like they're so gun-shy now that they're going with these tried-and-true, uninspiring choices, and we're going to maybe get to the point where we have uninspiring films and series.
It's interesting. I mean, I think you're arguing a thing where it's like we don't quite know, like, if it's a chicken or the egg thing. Yeah. Like, we don't know if it's, like, is it
is Disney and Kathleen Kennedy, like, sort of maybe not following through, like, practicing what they preach when they go out to these, like, exciting new voices? Or is it that, like, they did take a genuine risk and turn over some really enormous properties to some folks who were, like, really early career, and it's an exciting opportunity for them, but, like, maybe they can't hang. Maybe they're not ready for that yet. Like, and I don't, we're not going to know that. Like, we're not, none of us are close enough to, like, get that answer, you know?
Yeah, that's why, if you're listening and want to get on the pod and tell us the real story.
This also, I mean, obviously, this is a symptom of a systemic issue in the entertainment industry, as we're speaking about in many industries as well. But Disney is going with more established filmmakers that have, like, a track record of these big successful movies. Because of systemic issues, those tend to be older white men.
Right.
Right. That's totally a huge problem, like, societally and culturally. Now, the fact that they are, like, unwilling, not that I'm saying that, like, that he would want to do this movie, but I don't think it's, like, necessarily a risk to, like, give a movie like this to a filmmaker like Ryan Coogler. Like, that doesn't seem like a risk.
Not at all.
Well, I mean,
you know, at all.
No,
and we just saw Disney. That Ryan Coogler wants to do a Star Wars movie.
Right, but we just saw Disney do that.
Names to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we just saw Disney do that. So we know they're capable of that.
We had this conversation about Lando, about whether or not we could have had a Lando-only movie.
And it's one of those things where if you look at, like, how it's easier, although I wish they had done this earlier, Marvel's at a place now where as more Star Wars movies come out, then the stakes on each will be lower.
Right.
So right now I feel Lucasfilm is in this place where they're just give it to people who are established. And that's discouraging because, again, because of a systemic issue within the industry that the people who are established will be these same dudes. And just like, they'll deliver a movie that is fine, but I just don't feel like Jon Favreau is going to deliver a series that's, like, mind blowing.
I'm not using that as a critique of Jon Favreau. Like, I don't think he should necessarily be punished for being a guy who, you know, can work well with the studio and has made the studio a ton of money and turns out a product that, whether or not, like, you know, it seems like we're split on which movies we like or dislike or how we feel, but, like, you know, it's like, whether you like him or not, it's like the guy makes a movie that's, like, tells a story, it's watchable, it makes money, it does good. And so it's like, it's not his fault that he's the person they're turning to. It's echoing what you're saying, Ryan, that it's a systemic thing. And I'm going to be an old white dude someday. So I don't want to, like, argue that, like, you know, I'm on the wrong side of history, or, like, I'm not someone who should ever, you know, touch these properties. It's not that. It's the fact that it's, like, across the board, it's, like, all we're seeing in the Star Wars universe is just, like, what we're telling people we're trying to do with, like, our casting and showing on screen, like, hasn't moved behind the camera yet.
Yeah. I want to go back real quickly to Dave Filoni, because I feel like the next announcement, you know, we keep on waiting for them to make a choice that's beyond a white guy. Will they hold off on Filoni for a little while? I mean, I think whether it's right or wrong, I just think that they need to make the next announcement and show that they are going to turn the keys over to someone with a different vision, with a different background, and maybe Fellini's knows and he's going to take another year or two until they make this other announcement. That's up in the air, but I just think at some point Disney and Lucasfilm has to turn this conversation from a business standpoint, from a PR standpoint, from doing the right thing in storytelling and in art.
Right. They've announced already that they've made their money back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. $4 billion. That was done.
And I think they've done such a beautiful job in front of the camera in terms of representation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they've done with the Star Wars universe a really great job with that. I think that a huge component of that going forward, though, is that the people telling the stories also have to have different perspectives,
right?
And bring that level of representation to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this rate, though, if they're looking for more uninspiring white guys, I'm available and I can create something.
If you do need one, I will gladly take up the helm. He was in Entourage, the 2015 movie.
I'm glad you confirmed it.
Yeah. Jon Favreau was in the Entourage movie?
Oh, of course.
That's the only thing that Entourage had in 2015, unless it was some
like... By the time that we all knew that Entourage was like evil and destructive, that's when he was like, yeah, I'll be in it.
Oh, he had seen six seasons. He'd seen six seasons of that show.
Six seasons. Yeah. Enough time had passed for us to know, ooh, this show like really didn't age well. It's on the wrong side of history. It's disgusting.
And remember, he was probably in his late 30s or 40s. While he was watching it, he wasn't like he was a teenager in college when we all made the mistake at that point of trying to watch a show like, oh, it's sort of about movies. No.
Yeah, I got to say that he gave me the coin before the Entourage movie came.
Yeah.
So going back to again, does he have the ability to create a world? I mean, I know he doesn't have to create the universe, but he has to create the world of the show. Do you think he has the... I guess world building skills, the storytelling skills to really create something exciting, or is this middle of the road?
I will disagree.
I will think that technically he does. What he did effects wise in like the Jungle Book could be an amazing model for effects on a TV series if it's like packaged properly, I guess. So it's like he could offer a very high level of production in a seemingly low cost way. I guess that's one of the big things with Jungle Book.
I think it'll be interesting because it's going to be for this Disney streaming service. And obviously, you know, Disney is now committed to like a Star Wars movie a year in perpetuity. You know, there's like an opportunity. You know, I feel like a lot of shows that are, you know, in this realm, you know, sci-fi and comic book and fantasy and stuff, you know, you run into a wall with budget. You know, it's like kind of the only thing that seems to defy that would be Game of Thrones from what I hear.
Right.
It's like that looks like a movie each week or something. But with Disney and Star Wars, I mean, they've got it all like vertically integrated. They have all the assets for like the design work happening in parallel.
They own any of the sets
that are being made or ships or designs, like because it's all like under one roof, it's possible that I'm curious, like what can they do on a show? Like they might be able to make this thing look crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I think he'll certainly hire the crafts people that like,
I thought you were talking about the crafts table.
Not craft services. I mean like the craftsmen and women.
What is craft services like? Is it just Cuban sandwiches? Is that it? That's all he allows. Only Cuban sandwiches.
What's your crafty situation, John?
I think he will hire the craftsmen and women who are capable of doing amazing work. I think that like Jon Favreau's skill as a filmmaker has to do with like how he works with actors. And like kind of like you said, like there's a lot of improv and things like that. I think that he makes people feel comfortable and things like that. I saw The Jungle Book. It was a very good movie with amazing technology. If I looked at the direction of it, did it do anything that like was very interesting? I would say no. But, you know, I think he knows how to like run a company, you know, a company of people, meaning,
direct you back to Elf then. That movie, he had something to prove. He was just coming off of like two way lower budget movies, right? Mm-hmm. Did he do Sithora yet? I don't think so.
No, it was after that.
Yeah. So I think the movie Elf directed.
But you don't see any skill in that. I mean, obviously you see skill in storytelling and comedy, but there's not exactly filmmaking and any really ambitious
in it, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's become a holiday classic.
No, I think that I love Elf, but I think that the strength of that movie is the performances and the tone. And like, I think he does things very well when he's making movies. I just don't think that there's anything particularly distinct. And I think that that's kind of what Lucasfilm is doing right now, which is just like, let's safe. Let's just do safe.
Well, but maybe that's more acceptable.
Or what they see is safe.
More acceptable on the small screen. Is that we can accept, right. Because usually, with the exception of Game of Thrones, we expect it to not be quite as ambitious of filmmaking.
Sure,
endeavor.
I guess what I'm afraid is that we're going to get like another like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I know, I don't want to gloss over when I watch a show, and that's what happened with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just stopped, my eyes just kind of crossed, and I didn't care.
Yeah, and you know, maybe that's demanding a lot, but because it's Star Wars, like, I don't want it to feel like a TV show that's on ABC, even if it's on their streaming network. You know, it's just... It should feel special.
It should. Well, which is why hopefully this is a 10-episode season, 13-episode season. I don't see them doing 24 episodes on a streaming service.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Especially budgetary. Like, even though they have all the money in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's an influx of cash. As soon as they launch this thing, everyone, they're gonna have Netflix money as soon as they launch this thing.
I think they've already got Netflix money.
they're going to have Netflix money exclusively for this platform. Like, they're going to have Netflix money more. You know,
I've been sending them a check for $9.99 a month in preparation. They're like, please stop doing.
I just
want
to bank these.
Yeah.
Do you think this changes? I know
credits.
This is a sidetrack, but does this change their whole vault mentality where they have their films that are in the vault and they bring them out?
The Disney vault. Are they going to open up the vault?
Yeah. Is it just done?
Will there be just a section in the streaming service that's the vault with like things that you can't watch?
Yeah, exactly.
Get ready. It's coming back in 2023.
Like them and the Animaniacs are running around.
I think they're going to rotate stuff. I think it's going to come and go. And I think you're going to have like months, you know, months at a time where you can watch, you know, 101 Dalmatians, and then it'll go away for a while.
That seems like such an outdated perspective.
Yeah.
Not you, Sam, but if they did that.
Yeah, Sam.
Thanks, Mike. Jeez.
Any last things to say about Jon Favreau before we wrap this pod up? Because I think the next podcast we will be strictly about Rebels and the Rebels finale. So to look out for that. But any last thoughts?
Yeah. Jon Favreau did the voice in Clone Wars. And I don't know if you guys knew that.
I have one it's actually very important. Non-Favreau. Ooh, I like that. Non-Favreau. Mm. Piece of news that we should just acknowledge, as my partner Rachel reminded me before we started recording tonight, that today our boy Marky Mark Hamill got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So
that's right. I'm
another
surprised
piece of good Star Wars news. Today he was there with R2 and some stormtroopers
and Harry Ford.
Was he there too?
Yeah, they were all there.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, I didn't read.
Congrats,
the whole
Mark.
Thing.
Just like
Congrats,
Mark Hamill,
the droidheads are happy for you, Moses.
But just like Mark Hamill, to take the attention away on International Women's Day and make it all about him,
right?
Yeah. Oh boy,
Disney did a great work today.
Yeah,
I think Lucas was there as well. Did you already mention that, Chris?
No, I didn't mention that. But did you know?
I think Lucas was there on accident, though. He just likes hanging outside Grom.
Remember
he's
back
going
in
to the
day.
Movies.
Oh, you don't want to watch the movies I make.
Well, that will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Let us know your thoughts. Email us at droidspod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Facebook. We want to hear from you about your thoughts about where this new series is going. Are we risking that point that we continue to bring up? Oversaturation of Star Wars. We're not there yet, but we'll see how this plays out. And join us next time in the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.